Okay, today's daf is Kuf Yud Chet. We're going to start at the bottom of Kuf Yud Zayin. Today's going to be a lot of Mishnayot. By the way, we've seen this at the end of Prakim, if you remember. All of a sudden, it's almost like, oh, let's hurry up and finish. So they do Mishnah Gemara, Mishnah Gemara, Mishnah Gemara. Okay, which sometimes makes it a little simpler. Not always. Okay, first Mishnah of today. Bottom of Kuf Yud Zayin, I would bet. Shtafa Nahar Omer Lo Haresha Chalafanecha. If you steal an animal, you steal, I think the context could be anything here, right? You steal a field, shtafa, right. You steal a field from a friend, and then the nahar comes and overflows and destroys the field. So he says to him, Haresha Chalafanecha. He says, tough luck, you take your field. Okay, Emalasa, this is your field, it got ruined, not my fault that it got ruined. Tanu Rabbanan. And this is why, what have we learned before? That when you steal karka, it doesn't become yours. Remember, what's the whole concept we keep talking about? If it becomes yours, right? If you steal something, and then, right, you do a shinoi to it, you have a kinyan on it. But property, you never end up with a kinyan on it. So once you have a kinyan on it, then you're responsible to return it the way it was b'shat hagzela. Here, karka is not niknet, and therefore you can't steal it. In other words, there's no such thing as stealing karka, basically. So yes, obviously you're responsible because you stole it, but if something happens to the land, you return it as is. Tanu Rabbanan. Hagozel sadeh mechavero, ushtafa nahar, chayav lamid lo sadeh acher, devera b'leazar. Here, all of a sudden, we see a totally different opinion in the Braita. If you steal a sadeh from your friend, and the nahar overflows and destroys it, he has to give him a different field. That's what Rabbi Elazar says. So now we want to know what's the machloket about. It might come before that. Rabbi Elazar Savar Ribuye Umiute. Okay, we're going to have one darshan's Ribuye Umiute and one darshan's Klalu Pratu Klal. Okay, we're going to, if you didn't remember what the differences are, we'll discuss them now. So, what's the Ribuye Umiute? Vichichesh Ba'amito, right? That's you deny a claim. That's a riboy. Bipikadon, well, that's a miud, right? Because it says, v'chichesh ba'amito b'pikadon, and as you deny a claim when it comes to a pikadon. Specifically, it sounds like a pikadon. That's a miud. B'chol asher yishava alav l'sheker, chazar v'riba. And then it says, in anything that you swear about falsely, that includes things. So therefore, what do we have? A riba umiyet uriba. And what's the klal? If you have a riboy, a riboy, what do you say? Riba hakol, everything gets included. That's the content. That's going to be the difference between a klal and prat to klal. Okay, because if you remember, what's klal and prat to klal? Iyat hadan elekein aprat. It's only going to be similar to what the prat, like, it extends to other circumstances, but only things are similar to the prat. Here we're going to say, right, riboy, riboy means riba hakol. So my rabbe kol mile. Umay miyet. Okay, so what are we going to say? It includes everything, including karka. Okay, that's going to be his point. And therefore, karka, we're going to view it as if you acquired it, and therefore you have to return it to the owner as it was b'shat hagzela. Now, what's the issue, though? There was a miyut there of pikadon, so if you're going to say riba miyet riba, right, riba hakol, but you have to be miyet something, otherwise there wouldn't have been a miyut in the pasuk. So, my mi'eit shtarot. Do you remember about shtarot? What makes a shtar different? What makes a shtar different is that, remember? A shtar has no inherent value. It's just a piece of paper, right? So, therefore, shtarot are going to be excluded, but not karka. Rabbanan darshe klale prate. What's his klal? How does it work? Okay, same words. V'chichesh is a klal. V'pikadon is a prat. Omikol, ashri shavalav l'sheker, chazar v'kalal. Klal upratu klal, yet hadan elekeena prat. So now when we have a klal upratu klal, what are we going to say? We only include things that are similar to the prat. Maha prat davar mitaltel v'gufo mamon. Av kol davar mitaltel v'gufo mamon. It has to be something that can be movable, like a pikadon, and it has inherent value, gufo mamon, and therefore everything that can be moved, okay, which is not karka, and anything that has inherent value, which is not shtarot, are going to be excluded. Yatsu karka o chei mitaltelim, yatsu avadim, shukshu le karka o, right, and also avadim are like karka, and yatsu shtarot, sh'afa pisha mitaltelim, ein gufa mamon. So you follow the riboy miu to riboy is going to always include more things. It's the same thing. It's just a matter of, do we say we're going to be merabe everything and just mema'et a little bit, or do we say klal uprat uklal, we're only going to include things. Yes, we'll include more things, but only things that are similar to the prat. Okay, so therefore, Karka and Avadim are the ones that are going to be the machloket between them. The ha detanya hagozelet hapara ushtafan nahar chayav la milo para devrei Rabbi Elazar. V'chachamim omer lo haresha chalapanecha. Hatam b'may kamiflake. Wait a minute. If you say the whole machloket between Rabbi Elazar and Chachamim was all about Karka, what do we see that doesn't hold up? Because there's a braita that says that they argue also about animals. Okay? If you steal a para, they have the exact same machloket. So everything we just established so far today, we're now throwing out the window because we're saying, oh, it can't be their arguments just about karka, about this riboy umiyu to riboy and klalu pratu klal, and that the only difference is karka and, let's say, avadim, because they also argue about animals. So Amara, Papa, you misunderstood the braita. Hatam b'mayaskina. When the braita was talking, that was a specific case. Kigon shegazal sedeh mechavero v'hayta para ributzabo. Ushtafa nahar, to Rabbi Elazar l'tamev, Rabbanan l'tamayu. The case was where there was an animal on the property. So when he acquired the property, when he stole the property, he stole the para with it. So now, that's going to be the whole question. Is it considered that he stole the property and whatever he stole comes with it? In which case it's going to be chayav, and that's Rabbi Elazar, who says you can actually steal karka, and therefore you can also be responsible for the para. And Rabbanan say, no, there's no such thing as stealing karka, and therefore you don't acquire rights to it, and therefore you don't get whatever was in the karka, you don't get the animal. Okay, so that's the machloket between them. Right? Revutzavo, I forgot to translate, that's he was crouching. Para was crouching on the land. Okay, next Mishnah. Hagozel et chavero, o shehil vahemenu, o shehivkid. If you steal from a friend and you're supposed to return to them, or you took out a loan and you're supposed to return the money, or he gave you a pikadon and you're supposed to return it, by yishuv lo yachzir, o shehivkid lo, by yishuv, I read it wrong, or he gives him pikadon, all these things happen by yishuv. If he did it in the city, lo yachzir lo bamidbar. He can't return it in the midbar. What's the issue of the midbar? It's like a non-guarded place. So you're not allowed to return his item in the midbar. Okay? So Rashi says it's lav makom shimur hu. Okay, so if you basically want to go return this item, right, it's like how many times has it happened to me where I'm in school and picking up the kids and someone gives me something that they, you know, I had this one, someone gave me a check for the shul and then I lost it. You know, like, you give it to someone out in the, where it's not like a shamur place, things can happen to it. It could get lost, you know, also from the midbar back to the city, he might get robbed. Anything can happen. So basically, if he lends it to you in the yeshuv, you have to return it in the yeshuv where it's a safer place. But Bamidbar, okay, it depends. Almanat, let's say Bamidbar, if it was Bamidbar, let's say the Bamidbar. But if they did it by Yeshuv, but he said to him, Almanat, let's say Bamidbar, he says, but by the way, just so you know, you're giving me this item to watch or you're giving me this loan, I'm going out into the desert now, okay? Then, Yachzir la Bamidbar. Then he's allowed to, okay? Because he said, he already conditioned it on the fact that he was going to be out in the midbar in a makom shalav shimur, and therefore he's allowed to return it there. So first the Gemara brings a contradiction, or a minhag. Milve mishtalemet b'chol makom, avedo pikadon e mishtalmim ela b'mkoman. Okay, the Braita seems to distinguish, if you noticed our Mishnah had halva'ah together with pikadon and didn't have aveda at all, but a theft case. And here, the Braita distinguishes between a milve, a halva'ah, where it's money, and there it says you can return it anywhere, and the aved and pikadon you have to return in where you got it from. So, Amar Abaye, hachi kamar. You misunderstood the Braita. This is what the Braita meant. Milve nits nali taba b'kol makom, aved o pikadon lo nits nuli taba ela b'mkoman. Okay, this doesn't have to do with where you're returning it. This has to do with where the guy can start claiming you owe him money. Okay? So he, when he wants to come, right, he comes and says, if the malve wants, he's allowed to go and say, I want my item back anywhere. Right? He doesn't have to be in a particular place. But when it comes to pikadon, you can only do it in that place. Right? What's the logic here? I'm trying to remember.
I have a lost item. What's the claim? You have my lost item.
Right, you have my lost item. Return it to me. So there, in other words, only in the malva case is the yad hamalva al elyonah, because he gave a loan to the guy, and therefore he gets to do it wherever he wants. But just one second. Right, he could say, right, the way they explain it is he could say that, let's say you gave me a picadon, and you were out in the middle of nowhere, and you asked me to return it, and I could say, listen, I'll return it when I get back home. In other words, don't start bothering me about it here. And since I did a tova for you, and you didn't do anything for me, my yad is ha'elyonah, and I can determine that I don't want to do it here. But if the milveh, if we're out in the middle of nowhere and the guy says, I want my money back, and he starts making a claim against him, he can make his claim wherever he is, because this is also, we always make it better for the malveh. First of all, he's the one who did a tovah for the loveh, and therefore he gets to determine. In which case, this price has nothing to do with our issue. Our issue is, when you go to return something, in other words, you have to be responsible to return it in a place, but if he's demanding it from you outside, well then that's his prerogative, if he wants to. But it's only his prerogative if he's the malveh. And so looking at two different, one's looking at the perspective of who's demanding it, and one's looking at the perspective of the guy who wants to return it. Aminat, let's say, Bamidbar. So now, if I conditioned it and I said, listen, I'll watch your item, but I'm going out to the Midbar now, then I can return it Bamidbar. So the Gemara says, Pshita, isn't that obvious? Why do we need to say so? And it's just like any agreement. If we made a condition, so we made a condition. So lo tzricha de amar le lehave hai pikadon gabach de ana lamidbar nafikna. In other words, he says to him, I want you, okay, so now the guy who has the pikadon, he says, I want you to watch this item because I'm going to the midbar, right? I'm going on a trip, I want you to watch this while I'm gone. The amar le ihu, and then the guy who's supposed to be the shomer says to him, ana lamidbar nami bi'ina lamefa. By the way, I'm also going to the midbar. And then the guy anyway gives it to him. So now, he just said, I'm going to the midbar. He didn't condition it. He didn't say, al minat, and the guy said, okay, I agree. It was more like the guy said, I want you to watch this because I'm going to the midbar. And then the other guy came and said, well, by the way, I'm also going to the midbar. And he gives him the pikadon. So it wasn't exactly a stipulation. He was just pointing out that I'm also going to the midbar. You know, I might be going next week. So therefore, according to that, even though it wasn't a stipulation, the chidush of the Mishnah is, ibi inan ladrinu lachatam, madrinu lach. Okay, if he wants to, he could return it there. Okay, next Mishnah. Ha'omer l'chaveiro gizaltich hilvitani hipkadetaitzli ve'eni yodeh im ichzarti l'cha im lo. Okay, so he says to his friend, I stole from you, I borrowed from you, you gave me a pikadon, obviously it's one or the other, right? It's not all three. Either I stole, you lent me money, or you gave me a pikadon, but I don't remember anymore, eni yodeh im ichzarti l'cha, right? How many times does this happen? You can remember that you took out money, but you don't, you know, borrowed money, but you don't necessarily remember, did I actually pay the person back? Okay, so what do we say here? Im lo chzarti lecha, sorry, I don't remember that. Chayav l'shalem. Okay, if you say, I remember that I owe you money, or I stole money, or I borrowed money, or whatever it is, and you say, but I don't remember, well, the burden is on you. You have to pay him back. Aval ima marlo eini yodeh im gizaltich im ilvitani im ipkadetatzli patur mi l'shalem. But if he says, I actually don't even remember, did I borrow money from you or not, or did I steal from you or not, or did you give me something to watch or not, then he's patur. Okay, now what's missing in this whole situation? What does the other guy say? Okay, in other words, and that's going to be a difference of opinion here. Is this Mishnah talking about when the other guy says, you owe me money, or you stole from me, or I gave you a pikadon? Or is it where the guy doesn't say anything, and you come of your own volition and say, I kind of remember something, but I don't really remember what happened? Okay, so Itmar, there's a machloket here. Mana li biyadcha, v'hala omer eini yodea. Okay, if somebody says, now we're going to get into classic, we've seen this before, okay, bari v'shem. Who remembers the end of this term? Bari v'shema. What do we say? Bari adif. Okay, if somebody comes with a bari claim, what does bari mean? A vadai. He comes with a vadai claim, this is the case. And the other guy says, well, I'm not really sure. So what do we always say? Bari adif, right? In other words, the guy who's vadai gets to win, okay? Although not always. So now, remember, our Mishnah didn't relate to that because our Mishnah wasn't talking about the other guy's claim. So first they're going to bring in this machloket here. Mana li biyadcha, Okay, if the one guy is Bari and says, I gave you something, you know, you have 100 shekels of mine that you owe me. V'hala omer, eini yodea. And the other guy says, I don't know what you're talking about. So, or I don't know. You know, maybe you're right, but I don't really know, right? He doesn't know for sure, but he says, I don't know. So that's Bari v'shema. So now we're going to have a machloket. Rav Huna v'Rav Yehuda amre chayav. Okay? He's chayav to pay because Bari v'shema, Bari adif. Rav Nachman v'Rabbi Yochanan amre patur. By the way, someone points out here that the order is very strange because Rabbi Yochanan preceded Rav Nachman. So they say the reason why it's here is because we're in the Bavli. Since we talked about the Bavli Yerushalmi thing yesterday, I thought I'd point this out. Since we're in the Bavli brings its own rabbis first. And maybe also it was known as she taught Rav Nachman. And then it later became known to them that also Rabbi Yochanan agreed, so they added Rabbi Yochanan to Rav Nachman. Okay. So now, Rav Nachman v'Rabbi Yochanan amre patur. So now we're going to see why. Rav Huna v'Rabbi Yehuda amre chayav, because bari v'shema bari adif. Rav Nachman v'Rabbi Yochanan amre patur, because okay, mamona b'cheskat mare. What is that? That's an extension of hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. In other words, we keep the money wherever it is. If you claim, I owe you money, and I say, I don't know what you're talking about, you know, I'm not sure, maybe I do, maybe I don't. Well, the fact is, right now, the money's in my hands, so we keep the money. Since it's a suffix situation, we keep it in my hands. So now they're going to say, wait a minute. But our Mishnah is going to have a problem with this because it's none. Okay, now we're going to bring our Mishnah as a question on Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. You can see I charted it out. Okay? So if we say Bari Bishama Bari Adif, okay, let's go back to our case in the Mishnah. It seems to contradict. Again, remember, we don't know what our situation is, but if we read our Mishnah in one way, right, what would the basic assumption of our Mishnah be? That all these cases are when somebody claims, yeah, right? Someone comes with a Bari claim against him and says, you owe me money. And the guy says, well, I did owe you, but I paid you back. Or he says, I don't really know. So now, that's what they're going to first assume. And therefore, they're going to say, let's read, Tnan, aval ima marlo eini yodea imil bitani, patur. So, right? He's patur. So now they're going to say, hey, chidami, what's the case? Ilema de lo katavale, right? If you're going to say that the Mishnah is talking about where he didn't come and demand any money, which would make sense then that he'd be patur because there's no bari b'shema bari adif, right? You follow the whole problem? If we say that our Mishnah is that the guy came and was tovea, then it's going to be a case of bari b'shema and we're going to say bari adif and therefore he's going to have to pay. And our Mishnah said he's patur, right? If he says, yes, I borrowed, but I don't know, right? He should be patur. So ilema de lo katavale, right? If we're going to say, not the resha, I said it wrong, the seifa case, when he says, I don't even know whether there was even, right? If he says I know, then I just don't know whether I paid you back or not, then he has to pay. But if he says I didn't know, I don't know anything, then he doesn't have to. So that would contradict the bari v'shema. So now they say, well, if you want to say it was de lo katavale, in which case it's not a bari v'shema case, the other guy never even came forward, he just comes forward on his own volition and says, well, maybe there was, you know, I remember something, but I'm not really sure if it really happened or not. So if that's the case, so resha nami de lo katavale, the assumption is both are going to be the same cases. And if the first case is when the guy didn't come and claim anything against him, so am I chayav? Why should it be chayav? If he says, I remember I borrowed, but I paid you back, or I remember I stole, but I paid you back, and the other guy isn't claiming anything against him, he says, I don't know if I paid you back, but there's a suffix here. We should say, okay, mamon b'chaz kamari, there's no bari v'shema. So if nobody came and claimed against him, he shouldn't have to pay either in the resha. So it doesn't make sense to say it was lo katavale. So now they say, ela dekatavale, right? It must be he was tovea, and this is going to be the question. Bekatane seifa patur mi l'shalem. And that would be a bari v'shema. If the other guy was tovea, you follow what they're saying is the resha says, if you come forward and you say, right, he'll be tani, let's just say this. You lent me money, but ain't yodea if I paid you back or not. So what are we going to say? Chayav, according to the Mishnah, you have to pay back. So that's the whole problem here, because if that's the case, that proves this must be, we shouldn't make you chayav if the other guy isn't claiming anything against you. You just came forward and offered all sorts of information of your own volition. Nobody else said you stole or you borrowed or anything else, and you're not sure, so why should we move the money out of your hands, right? We always say you need some sort of proof to get money. So therefore, it doesn't make sense to say, as if we say, it makes more sense to say that there was a tovea, right? He came and claimed the money. But then the seifa doesn't make sense because the seifa would then be a bari and a shema, where the guy said, I don't know what you're talking about, but the other guy came and said bari. And then we should make him pay, and it says in the seifa you're patur. So that doesn't make sense according to Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda's logic. Remember, Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan, it works because they say patur, because okay, my mother has kamar. So now, so what do we say? Lo, la'olam de lo katavale. Really, the case is he wasn't tovea. So now, what do we have to explain? The reisha. Why are you chayav in the reisha if nobody came and claimed? So now, what do they answer? You could have thought about this yourself. Bereisha bebalatze ide shamayim. Right? And it's, you have some recollection. You know that something happened, but you don't really remember, did I pay back the money? So if you want to really be yotzei ide shamayim and cover all your bases, yes, bedine, beitin, you know, they're not going to make you chayav. But you should really pay back because you know that there's something, even though the guy's not claiming anything against you, you have this sensation, you know, that maybe there's something, and if you want to be really clear, you should, you know, chayav there means bidei shamayim. Okay? And here's a further proof of this answer. Itmar nami, amar chiyav bar abba, amar bi yachanan, omer lechavirah manali biyadchav, ala omer eni yodea, chayav, bebalatze idei shamayim. Okay? If he says, and the other guy says, I don't know anything, then he's chayav because he wants to be yotzei midei shamayim. But 1 minute. Right, this is, they say, Rashi, you have to explain this. Rashi says it's tata anat bari. In other words, right, why this wouldn't be a clear bari v'shema and you wouldn't need bevalat yidei shamayim is a good question. So Rashi says this is tata anat bari. Right. This case really sounds like a bari case. Why would this prove it? In other words, Rabbi Yochanan says, right, because Rabbi Yochanan didn't hold bari v'shema bari adif. So here you see that Rabbi Yochanan, right, what are they trying to prove here? They're actually proving this from the other opinion. Rabbi Yochanan holds, we don't hold bari adif, right, bari v'shema bari adif. What do we hold? The money stays in the hands of, however, he says, if the other guy's claiming bari, then you should pay anyway. You follow? He's saying, yes, halachically, it stays in your hands, but you should go over and beyond the law and pay it back anyway since you're not sure. So since he says it in that case, right, the other guy would also say it. In other words, they're trying to say that sometimes when they say chayav, they really mean bidei shamayim. Okay? No issue of rebid if you're... I guess you can view it as a gift, right? It's a good question. But there is a ta'ana against you, and therefore, I don't think it would be viewed as rebid, because maybe you do have to pay. So, yeah. Okay. Hagonev talemina eder, vichziro. You steal a talemina eder, okay? You guys got a flock of sheep. You steal one, vichziro, and then you return it. Umet, and then it dies. Onignav, chayav v'achrayuto. Okay, now, what happens? You steal it, you return it, and then what happens? It dies. Once you already returned it, it dies. So now, you're chayav achrayut on this, okay? You're basically responsible because you didn't, right? You returned it, but you didn't tell anyone you returned it. You didn't, it wasn't obvious. You're responsible until the ba'alim know that you returned it, okay? Now we're going to have a discussion about this. Lo yadu ba'alim, lo b'gnevato, v'lo b'chazirato. Okay, this Mishnah, by the way, we're going to read in 4 different ways. So it's going to be a little confusing right now how to read it on the first time because I don't want to bias you. Okay, but now it sounds like it's talking about a different case now, right? So if the Ba'alim, now the assumption is the Reisha is the Ba'alim knew that you stole it, but they didn't know you returned it. So basically the Halacha is telling you you're responsible for that animal until the guy actually knows that you returned it. Because what's going to happen otherwise? You say, I stuck it back in. The fact that it got lost now, that's not my fault. And the guy said, well, how do I know you even returned it? It's obviously the ganav can use this as a good, as a claim, you know. Oh, I returned it, but who's, you know, go prove it. So now, what if lo yadu ba'alim lo b'gnevato v'lo b'chazirato? Let's say they didn't even know you stole it. You steal it, you bring it back. So maybe, right, they don't really need to know. So now, according to one reading, okay, this last line is referring to this, and it's telling us, umanu etatzon ushlemahi patur. If the guy counted his sheep, okay, right, the assumption is people didn't just count their sheep in their sleep, right, trying to fall asleep, but they actually counted sheep to always keep track of how many sheep they had. If the guy counted his sheep and saw that no one was missing, and then later the one you stole died, you're not responsible anymore because he counted his sheep and he knew exactly what he want, you know, what he had. Okay, now we're going to see a four-way machloket here. It's at the bottom of your sheet. It'll make it easier to follow here. About the Reisha case, which is Ganav Ladad, and the Seifa case, which is Ganav Shelo Ladad, right? Without the knowledge of the original owner. So Amarav, Lida'at Sarich Da'at. Okay, this is like a play on words. If you stole it Lida'at, then you need the guy's Da'at to know that you returned it. And Kolo, that hasn't happened, you're responsible for it. Shelo Ladad Minyan Poter. That was the simple reading, the way we read the Mishnah. If it's Shelo Ladad, right, then as soon as he counts it, well, that makes you not responsible, right? As long as he counts and everything's there, then you're fine. V'chi katane umanua tatzon v'hi shlema. And that last line of the Mishnah is a seifa, is referring to the last part of the Mishnah, right? And there's a resha and a seifa, there's the ganav ladad, and there's the ganav shelo ladad. And that last line, if you notice when I charted it out here, okay, the chart second to last on the page, I put the manua tatzon as a separate line because it's not so clear that that's where it goes. So that's the way Rav reads it. But that line is referring to the Seifa. Ushmuel amar, bein ladat, bein shelo ladat, minyan poter. Whether you knew about it or whether you didn't know, whether the, you know, the guy who got robbed knew you robbed it or not, minyan is always going to be poter. Once he counts his sheep, so he knows you've returned it. Whether you told him you stole it or he didn't know you stole it, either which way minyan works to be poter. So then, v'chi katane umanu v'hi shlema patur is akula. It refers to the whole thing. So how would he read the Mishnah? He would read the Mishnah like this. Go back to the Mishnah. Hagonev talemina eder v'chzirov amet onignav chayav v'achroyuto. Right? In other words, kol od you haven't counted, you're chayav. And then you'd have to add the words v'chein, and additionally, lo yadu ba'alim, lo b'gnevato v'lo b'chazirato, period. Meaning, the halah for the resha and the sefer is the same. Whether you knew, whether you didn't know, you're chayav ba'achrayut, and then comes the Mishnah and asks them, but if he counted and everything was there, then it's fine. Okay? And then that line's referring to akula, everything, both the Resha and the Seifa, because both the Resha and the Seifa are the same deen. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, ladat minyan poter. If you stole it knowingly, then again, what does it say? You're chayav ba'achrayut, but if he counted, then you're okay. But shelo ladat afilu minyan nami lo tsarich. You don't even need minyan. So how does he read the Mishnah? Hagonev talemina eder v'chziro v'meit onignav chayav ba'achrayuto. Okay. Lo yadu ba'alim lo b'gnevato v'lo b'chazirato. You're never chayav ba'achrayut. As long as you return it, you returned it. And now it jumps back to the first case, and it says, but if they counted, then you're no longer responsible. Well, since we said for the second case, you're never responsible. So which was that you're referring to? The Reisha. So that last line, then you have to read, right? Really, the Mishnah is really out of order according to that. As long as you counted, you're fine. That's only for the Ganav Ladat. But Ganav Shelo Ladat, you don't even need Minyan. In other words, you stole it, he didn't know. You put it back, he didn't know. At that point, you're no longer responsible. Okay? Now the last one's going to be even more confusing because now it's going to kind of, until now we assume that you need a higher level for da'at, right? If you stole it, la'da'at. Now we're going to flip it. Rav Chista Amar, la'da'at, if you stole it, la'da'at, then minyan poter, okay? They all agree, by the way, these last three guys, Shmuel, Rav Yochanan, Rav Chista, that if you stole it, la'da'at, right? As long as the guy counted, you're fine. Whereas only Rav read it the way we read the Mishnah. You follow? Only Rav read that the minyan only refers to the second case. Everyone else thought that the minyan even potters the first guy. Shelo ladat sarich dat. But if you stole it not knowingly, then the guy needs to know that you returned it. Otherwise, you're going to be responsible as long as he doesn't know. In other words, minyan won't help. V'chi katane umanu etatzon v'hi shlema. So obviously, according to him, the counting is only going to be relevant for the resha, right? And You can follow on the chart, but Rabbi Yochanan says it was only relevant for the Reisha because you don't even need Minyan for the Seifa. He comes and says the opposite. You dafka, right? Minyan won't even help you for the Seifa. Okay, so now we're going to have to explain why he says this. Amarava, my time at the Rav Chista. Ho'il ve'enkata negare breita. What does he say? That, forgetting what this means, one second. He says it's, oh, right. Because he taught his animal, enkata means he taught the animal, nigare baraita. Baraita means, baraita is a mishnah chitzonit. It's basically something for the Tan Eidik time that didn't end up in the Mishnah. So what are we talking about here? Baraita, not a baraita like that, but a chutz. If you stole it, what do you teach the animal? That he can wander away from the flock. So now you've taught him bad manners, right? Bad etiquette or bad behavior. So now, when you return this animal, you're going to have to tell the owner, because otherwise the assumption is he's going to wander off again. He's learned, right? Because what does sheep do? They follow the flock, right? That's the whole idea. So then you're going to basically, you taught him that he can leave, and therefore if you stole it in that kind of way, and the guy didn't even know you stole it, you have a responsibility to teach, to tell him that you stole it. So that way he knows that he's got to keep his eye on this sheep. Now, if you stole it ledat, then the guy knows. So he knows already that when he sees the sheep come back, he knows he has to be careful. But if he didn't even know you stole it, then he doesn't even know that this sheep, you know, is going to possibly wander off. So that's Rav Chisda. So now we're going to question, okay, if you see on the chart, first we're going to question Rav's explanation of Rav Chisda, and then we're going to question Rav, and then we're going to move on. Then we're going to move up. We're going to keep within the same machloket, but go in a different direction. Umi amar Rav hachi. Did Rav really say this? Ha'amar Rava. Ha'amar Rava. Ha'iman dechazi lechevre. De'agba imra me'edra didei. Ve'rama be'kala. Ve'shadiei. Okay, so let's just start explaining. A guy sees chazi lechevre. He sees his friend who grabbed one of the sheep from the eder. Right, and imar is one of the sheep from the eder. From his own eder, Rama me'edra didei, v'rama be'kal, and he screamed out, v'shadye, below, and then he called, shadye, he, right, he sends, right, he means to send, but what is, what?
Threw it down.
And then the ganav threw the sheep, below yada, in other words, what, classic robbery, right, the guy's running with it, and you scream, don't take my thing, and he drops it. Velo yada ihadre ilohadre. Okay, and you don't know if it made it back or not. Umet onignav, and then it dies, or it was stolen. Chayav v'achor yuto. Now, my love, the assumption is that this braita must be referring to afa gav demane. Right? In other words, the assumption is he dropped it. You don't really know if it showed up, but eventually you counted, and it was all there, and then later it gets stolen, right? That's what they didn't say that he counted, but that's what they're assuming. And if that's the case, it would sound like minyan is not poter, right? This was a geneva ladat. He saw it, and he counted. Again, it didn't say he counted. That's the problem here, but they assumed that he must have counted. So now they say, and that's going to be their answer, and then that would contradict Rav's, but it would really contradict Rav Chisda. So now they say, lo, de lo mane, okay? It must be a case where he didn't count, and that's exactly why, and that matches perfectly. He knew, right? Equally, they could have asked this question on Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, it seems, because they also said, minyan is poter in a case of ledat. So therefore, you'd have to say there was no minyan here. Now they're going to question Rav. Umi amar Rav hachi, v'ha amar Rav, doesn't Rav say in a different place? Remember what Rav said. Rav said, if it's ledat, then he needs to know. Minyan won't help you. And if it's shelo ledat, then minyan is going to be poter. So what did he say? Hichziro le'eder shebamidbar yatsa. Okay? And therefore, what does it sound like? If you return it to the eder shebamidbar, then you're yotze. In which case, right, we're going to say, right, he returns it to this guy's eder that's in the midbar. He's yatsa, even though, right, it seems to be here. There's no da'at that the guy doesn't know, and there's no minyan, because he's just, you know, he sends it back to the eder. So, Amar Rav Chanan bar Abba, modera birikuata. So, what are we going to assume here? This must have been a case where it was a very identifiable sheep. He had all sorts of spots on it, right? It reminds us of the Yaakov story with all the speckled and spotted sheep. It was a very noticeable one, and that's why if it's very noticeable and identifiable, then if you just stick it back into the flock, it's okay. Obviously, that's, again, taking a braita and reading it in a very creative way. Thank you. By the way, it's very common, with Rav particularly, if you remember Minich et Akad, remember, and then Rav said it's b'momalei Rashud HaRabim kulo chaviyot. He, in general, I think because he was the first Emora, he allowed himself, you know, they even say Rav Tanahu Palik, he's like a Tana and he can be Cholek, and he allowed himself many creative interpretations of Mishnayot and Braitot. Okay, he had this clue because he was one of the first ones. So, okay. Now we're going to suggest that this machloket between these four Amoraim, okay, maybe not all four, but maybe the machloket between two of them or another two of them or something or parts of them, some against the other, we're going to have a few suggestions, is actually machloket Tanaim, and that we can find already machloket for this in Tanaitic sources. And we're going to reject them all, but we're going to suggest. Because again, like always, what are we going to say? Well, we could read this braita this way, but we could also read that it's talking about something else. Because again, they're not going to give us all the facts in the braita. Hagonev talem min ha'eder, v'selem min ha'kis. Okay, either you steal one of the sheep from the flock, or you steal a coin from somebody's money bag. L'makom sheganav yachzir, divrei Rabbi Yishmael. You have to return it to exactly where you took it from. Rabbi Akiva Omer. Okay, but what does he say? Sorry. What he's saying is, you can return it, but you don't have to tell anybody. You can just stick it back exactly where it was and be done with it. This, by the way, is very similar to what we talked about before, the whole difficulty. We talked about this a lot, about the difficulty of returning stolen items. Yeah, they made it so much easier for people. This is also a way of making it easier. Just stick it back in and you'll be yotze. You don't have to go forward and admit, and I stole. And it's difficult for people to do that. So in order to basically try to make sure that we could get people's money back to where they came from, you know, people will return things, Rabbi Yishmael is going, making it easier. Rabbi Akiva Omer, tzarich da ba'alim. So, in order to assume that the machloket is based on one of the machlokets that we saw here, we're going to first assume another assumption. Savrua, now we're going to focus on the Selim in Akis case. Savrua de kulei alma yitluhu de Rabbi Yitzchak. We assume that everybody gives with Rabbi Yitzchak. We're going to see this when we get to Elam Tziot also. And it has to do with Yeush, and whether we can assume if you find money on the floor that immediately they must have been mityayesh. Okay, so they would have noticed already that it was stolen, and therefore had Yeush, because there's this assumption of Rabbi Yitzchak that Adam asur lemishamesh bekiso bekol sha'ah. People are always counting their money, so therefore, if you find a 200 shekel bill on the floor, you can assume that people are always looking through their wallets. They already know that they lost the 200 shekel, and they know they're never going to find it again because they left it in the middle of the street, and someone obviously was going to pick it up. So therefore, there's immediate Yeush. You can assume right away when you see it that there was Yeush. We'll get to this in Bava Metzia. Anyway, what does this have to do with our case? Because if this Selam in Akis, you steal, the assumption is that the guy had Yeush right away. Okay? He knew that it was stolen. Sorry. Not that he had Yeush, that he had died, that he knew it was stolen. Okay? And therefore, my love, Besela Ladad. Isn't this a case of Besela Ladad? And therefore, what's the machloket? It's the same machloket as Beplugta to Rabu Shmuel, right? That, do you need, is Minyam Poter, right? Or do you need Dad? Can you just return it to his money bag, in which case he'll check and he'll know, right? Or do you need to actually tell him? Then they say, okay, there's two different Gersot. I'm going to read this one way. The Shanstein actually reads it a different way, but I'm going to go with a different reading. Lo. You could say that it was b'taleh shelo ladat, that the machloket was, like, look at the taleh case. It could be a taleh shelo ladat. And then you could say it's not a machloket Rav and Shmuel, it's a machloket about the case of shelo ladat, which would be a plugta d'Rav Chisa Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, that it was a taleh shelo ladat. And the question is, right, what do we see here? Even minyan lo tzarich, or you need to tell him. And that's the machloket. So in which case, maybe it's a machloket tanaim, but we don't know which one and what's what. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Amar Rav, Zvid, Mishmei de Rava, he says, you don't even have to explain this way or that way. Really, the case is, in other words, you could also read it like this. The other way to read it is, it could be read as a machloket, right? The Sela case is showing this machloket, and the Taleh case is in the case of Shalom Ladat, right? One is Ladat, one is Shalom Ladat, and they argue. But it comes to Zvid, and he says, no, it's about b'shomer sheganav merishu ba'alim. It's talking about a specific kind of geneva, where someone stole, okay, a shomer was watching someone's stuff, but he stole an item from the reshu ba'alim. So, kule alma lo plige kidrav chista. V'hacha, okay, so, we would say it like this. In a case of a shomer sheganav merishu ba'alim, everyone would agree, kidrav chista. Everyone would agree that if you stole it Shomer Sheganav Merishu Ba'alim, is this Midat or Shalom Midat? One second. Shomer Sheganav Merishu Ba'alim. Sri Lekrov Chistin Marash Tamar Mishum. Right. That the assumption is that Ankatani Greba Paraita, right, that you would, keep always forgetting what that term means, that you would, right, he already taught it to go wander outside, and therefore you'd have to bring it back, Midad. He would have to know about it. Okay, if you steal something from a Shupa Alim, you'd have to tell him. V'hacha, but this case was a Shomer Shagana Mirishuto. Okay, and then the question is going to be, if you stole Mirishuto, and shehichzir lamakom shaganav. In other words, what happened? He gave you a pikadon. You decide to take it for yourself, and then you just put it back with the rest of them. Right, your own property. In other words, you say, "Oh, I'm not going to steal it." Okay, we always have this debate about when you steal. Right, it's really you're stealing bedibur or machshava, really. So now, and what this is their machloket. Rabbi Akiva savar kaltalo shmirato. You broke your shmirah, basically, right? And therefore, you become a ganav, and you have to return it, and you have to have da'at ba'alim. And Rabbi Yishmael Savar, lo katal shmirato. In other words, if you just put it right back and decide I'm not going to steal it, so you haven't done anything. You haven't really changed anything. Right? Comes Rabbi Akiva, and he says, what do you mean you haven't changed anything? Your whole nature of your relationship was you were going to watch someone's object. You now broke the agreement with him because you decided to steal it. You now have no more shomer relationship with him anymore, and you're a real ganav. Okay, Rabbi Yishmael Savar, no. The real regular law is, you know, lo katalo shmirato, and you don't have to actually tell the ba'alim. Okay. Now they're going to suggest, okay, looking back at the chart again, if you look at the ganav ladat case, so Rav stands on one side and he says you need dat if you stole it ladat, and Shmuel, Rav Yochanan, and Rav Chista all say you don't need dat. So now we're going to say that this machloka, the three of them versus the one, maybe is also machloka tanaim. Lema minyan poter in a dat ladat case is tanai, who is a machloka tanaim, ditanya. Hagozel, okay, first of all, we know right now this is ladat, because the gozel always, you know who the gazlan is, remember? That's like armed robbery. So, where he does it in your face. So, hagozel et chavero v'hivli alo b'cheshbon. He steals from you, and then he buys something from you later on, and he adds the money that he bought to the cheshbon, so that he pays you back the money like that. Tanichada yatsa, v'tani idach lo yatsa. One brayta says he's yotze by dumping extra money in, and the other brayta says he's not yotze. Savrua, again, what did they think? Dekule alma ilu d'Rabbi Yitzchak. D'amar adam asur l'mishmish kiso b'chol sha'ah b'sha'ah. And therefore, my la b'hakam miflagei. Demanda amar yatsa savar minyan poter. Now, what's the assumption? After he gives you the money, you're obviously going to know exactly how much money you got. Because everybody always counts their money. So therefore, if you know how much you got, well, that's minyan. So minyan is going to be poter. You follow? Because you know he gave you more money, and you assume he gave you to cover the loss of what he stole. So therefore, we're going to hold your yotze because minyan poter. Uman damar lo yatsa, savar minyan eno poter. Okay, that's their assumption. But now they say, no, you don't necessarily have to say that that's what the source is talking about. Because Amre, Isfir alan ke Rabbi Yitzchak, kule amalo pligi de minyan poter. You could say, like this, if you hold by Rabbi Yitzchak, everybody counts their money, and he will know exactly, then everyone might agree in this brayta that minyan is poter. But what's their machloket about? Their machloket is, do we hold like Rabbi Yitzchak or not? Do we agree with him that people are always counting their money? Or maybe we say, no, people don't always count their money. And maybe he didn't exactly count the change that the guy gave him. Mar eat late to Rabbi Yitzchak, or mar late to Rabbi Yitzchak. And that's why one says you're pacha, one says you're not pacha. You're yotze or not yotze. V'baitehim. Alternatively, you could say like this. Dekule alma yitle to Rabbi Yitzchak. V'lo kasha, hademane v'rama le'bekise, v'hademane v'rama le'yade. One is where he counted, where he gave him the money and put it right into his money thing. And one is where he counted and put it in his hand. In other words, the guy who gave it to him counted up his money and then gave it to him, or he put it straight into his money bag. And then there's a machloket about now, which case, the assumption is if you put it in his keys, well, then people always count what's in their keys, and therefore he'll know. And if you put it in his hand, maybe he won't necessarily count it. Maybe he'll dump it somewhere else, and then maybe, right? It's a weird answer because either which way, he really should be counting. Anyway, Ibait Ema, another answer which actually the Mefarshim go both ways in terms of explaining it. It could be itself and its opposite. In other words, we'll see. Idi b'idi d'mani v'rami b'kise. He actually gives it to him and puts it in his money pocket. One is a case where he had nothing else in his money bag, and the other is where he had money in his money bag. Now, you can explain this in both ways. If he had no other money, so then you say it's obvious, then obviously he counted and he knew exactly. The other one says, no, no, no. If he didn't have other money, then he wasn't going to be counting up his money. So then he will never count it, and then eventually, you know, he won't ever really know. Okay, we'll go a little farther. This is all an issue about who you can buy from and not assume it was stolen property. In other words, the question is, if you buy from someone who's suspected that he's selling you stolen goods that aren't his, you can't buy from him because he might be stolen property, like buying on the black market. So you can't buy from ro'im, okay, the shepherds, wool, milk, or gdim, or little baby animals, because the assumption is he's selling you stuff that belongs to his owner. The lomi shomrei peirot etzimu peirot, right? The guys who are watching the peirot, also the assumption is they're stealing from someone who's selling someone else's stuff. You can also imagine this situation lent itself. They're out there basheta. How's the guy going to know if they sell the stuff? It's like a great way to make money. Aval lokchim en anashim klei tzemer b'Yehuda. Klei pishtam b'galil. Okay, here the assumption is that they're not selling you stuff against their husband's wishes, because remember, women didn't own their own property. So if they're selling you clothes, maybe it's their husband's stuff and maybe he didn't want you to sell it. Ve'agalim b'sharon. Okay, and also agalim in the sharon. Okay, ve'kulan sha'amru lahatmin asur. If they tell you, this is like, you know, they teach kids about bad secrets, right? If they tell you, hide it, well, then you know that you can't do it, okay? You can always buy beitzim v'tarnagolim. The assumption is they're so cheap that no one's going to bother. It's not worth selling stolen goods for that. Okay, it's like not worth it. Tana Rabbanan. Ein lochim en aruim lo izim velo gdiim velo gizim velo tlushin shel tzemer, aval lochim mehem tfurin mipnei shehen shelahen. Okay, if they're sewed already, then what's the assumption? Even if they stole it, remember, they're kone. Shinoi kone. In the midbar, you're allowed to take this because the assumption is that the owner knows that they're not going to bring all the milk back to the city, so any milk they have, they're allowed to use. But not in the yeshuv, because then the assumption is they should be bringing it back to their owner. Four or five sheep, or four or five shears. Four or five, but not two. Okay, we'll get to this in a minute, right? The assumption is what? Four or five, they're not going to be me'iz to sell that much if they're really stealing it, because it'll get noticed. But one or two, who's going to notice? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, baitiyot lokchim mehen, midbariyot ein lokchim mehen. He disagrees. We'll get to it later in the Gemara, what this disagreement is about. We'll finish with the end of this braita. He says, if they're domestic ones, then you can buy them. But if they're living out in the desert, then you can't. Klalo shal davar. Here comes Rabbi Yehuda's klal. Kol sharoem ocheru balabayim margishbo lokchim mehem. Ein margishbo, ein lokchim mehem. If he will notice it, then you can sell it. If he won't notice it, then you can't. Because then the assumption is he's stealing. Okay, we're going to get to why four or five, right? And versus two, right? Why does it say or five? It should just say four would be enough. And what about three? Okay, that's going to be tomorrow's thing. Okay, what we didn't get to is that, and Rabbi Yehuda, about what Rabbi Yehuda is he going lechumra, lekula? We'll talk about that tomorrow, what the different options are. Okay, tomorrow's siyum, okay?